Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Pei Beis. This is the last Daf in Kiddushin, the last Daf in Seder Noshim. And Be'ezus Hashem, we have completed this wonderful Masechta, this wonderful Seder. And Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we start Nezikin and Bava Kama. So with tremendous Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we begin today's share. We're learning Le'ilei Nishmas Melvin Frankel, and we learn continued for the success and the safety of Tzahal, the Kochos HaBitachon. The hostages should be returned safely and rapidly, Be'ezus Hashem, in good health, and all those in need of refuah shleimah should have one b'mehera. Okay, now yesterday we got down to two-thirds of the way down on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, 14 lines up from the bottom, 3 lines up from the two dots, that's about 10 lines up from the bottom, with the words, Afilu im behema. And yesterday, Shia Shmuel taught us that according to Shmuel, a person was not allowed to be alone, even with an animal, because of the concern that Rachman Ulislan, he would do an act of bestiality. So Abaye mechalale mikula dabra. Abaye, in order to follow this opinion of Shmuel, to be extra careful, even around the animals, would go and make sure that there were no animals in the field when he was learning over there. When he would be in the field, he would make sure that there were no animals around him, and this way there was no concern at all about this yichud with the animals that Shmuel had spoken about. Similarly, Rav Sheshes, me'avar le mitzra. Rav Sheshes would put all the animals on the other side of the bridge. He would put them on the other side of the river. And this way, there would be no animals around them. Rav Chanan min Naradaya, ikla Rav Kahana l'pum Nara. One time, Rav Chanan, who came from Naradaya, went to visit Rav Kahana, who was in Pum Nara. And Chazye de Yosef, called Garas, v'kaima behema kameh. And he saw he was sitting and learning, and there was an animal right in front of him. So Amalei said to him, he said to Rav Kahana, no, lo sabe lo amar, afilu behema, don't you hold like Shmuel, that said a person shouldn't be alone even with just an animal? So Amalei, so Rav Kahana said back to him, Lav adatoy. I didn't know. I didn't realize that the animal was here. I would have followed Shmuel's edict. However, I didn't realize that the animal was here. Again, that's not the halacha l'maisa. And in fact, Tosus brings down that the anan kaimalon kirabonon, the Rebbe Yehuda. We foskin like the opinion that was brought down in yesterday's shir, and we'll learn it again today. They said to him, Lo nechshidu Yisrael, lo amishka zocha, lo al behema. That halacha l'maisa, we don't worry about men being alone with men, we don't worry about men being alone with animals, because those simply aren't concerns for the vast majority of people, and therefore the rabbis were not gozer any such gezeres. Amar Rava, Rava tells us further, Misyached odom im shtei yevamos. A man is allowed to be with together with two women. Normally we said a man is not allowed to be together with two women because we're concerned that the women will easily be seduced and neither one will be afraid to perform their act of immorality because they'll assume the other one will as well and therefore neither one would tattle on each other. In any event, that's the default position, but Robert tells us that there are women that you can be alone with, a single man can be alone with two women, if these two women, misyachet odem im shtei yevamos, if these are two sisters-in-laws, let's say Reuven has a brother Shimon and he has a brother Levi and each of them has a wife. So those two women are potentially going to be tzoros with each other because Rachmon Litzlan, if either Shimon or Levi were to die without children, so then the other brother would do yibum with them. So therefore, in this situation, a person is allowed to be alone with these two women because there's no way that these two women would be supportive of each other, so to say. And in this situation, they can't assume that the other woman will be silent when she does the Avera, knowing that each of them is going to do the Avera, and therefore they won't tattle on each other. Here, these two women potentially dislike each other because they have the potential to be tzaros, they have the potential to be co-wives, which is in general not assumed to be a loving relationship, and therefore a person would be allowed to be misyachid with these two women who are yevamos, potential yevamos to each other, who will not necessarily like each other, and therefore you can't assume that they'll be each acquiescing to let the other one have relations because they know that they won't get tattled on. Okay. Likewise, a person, according to Rava, can be alone, misyachid im shtei tsaros, with two actual co-wives. So Reuven is married to two women, so somebody is allowed to be misyachid with those two because, again, the presumption here is not that they'll each say, I'll do my Avera, you do your Avera, and we won't tell on each other. But no, if one of them tried to do the Avera, the other will only be too quick to go and tell on. So therefore, there's no concern in this situation that both of them would do the Avera. Similarly, in Isha v'chamosa, a woman and a mother-in-law, there's a natural enmity between them as well. So therefore, the likelihood of them both agreeing to do the Aveira and not tattling on each other doesn't exist. And therefore, Rava says this is the exception, Misyachit Odom, with such two women. And likewise, the conclusion over here is Im Isha Ubazbala, a woman who's married and she has a stepdaughter. So the daughter of her husband and her also have a natural enmity towards each other, and therefore a man can be misyachid with both of them. There's no likelihood that they'll each support each other. And finally, imisha v'tinokis, a man is allowed to be misyachid with a woman and a girl who is of the age, sheodas tam bia, she understands what bia means, she's able to comprehend what relations are. However, she's young enough, vein moseris etz molabia, but she doesn't yet have that temptation for herself. So in this situation, the woman who's the more mature woman can't assume that the other girl will also be seduced and will also have an illicit relationship and won't tattle on her. And therefore, this other woman who's a young girl who understands relations but doesn't yet desire relations herself, so she will tattle on the other lady. And therefore, in all of these situations, Rava said, because you can't presume over here that both women would do the Aveira, in fact, one of the women would tell on the other woman, so therefore, there's no Isser of Yichud with two women in this situation, whereas normally there would be an Isser to be one man with two women. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Higdilu ze yashim b'susu v'chuli." We said when the children get older, so they no longer can sleep without clothing with their parent. So then they have to put on clothing. New, how old do they have to be? V'kama, what age do we say that the child should no longer sleep unclothed with the parent in the same bed? The mother with the son and the father with the daughter. So we have two opinions. Amar Rav Ada bar Rav Aza, Amar Rav Asi, Rav Ada bar Rav Aza. Sending Ravasi, an earlier age. He says, Tinokas for the girls, once they reach 9 years old, Bas Tesha Shonav Yomecha, 9 years old in one day, then if they have physical maturity, as Rashi points out, so then we can presume that this girl has an interest, so to say, in relations. There would be already a desire, because she's mature enough physically to have this sense of desire, and therefore it's inappropriate to have her stay in the same bed as her father without clothing on. And for a boy, Tinok ben 12 shon of Yom Echad, at that point, with physical maturity, so the child, Mistama, would have a desire already, and therefore it's inappropriate to stay in the same bed with the mother without clothing on. That's the first opinion. Ika the Amri, others say, no, it's a later age for both of them. Tinokos ben 12 shon of Yom Echad, and Tinok ben 13 shon of Yom Echad. So it would be the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah, respectively, for the boy and for the girl. And this is both of them. Vizeh, vizeh. Rashi points out, this is the first opinion from Rav Ada by Rav Aza in the name of Ravasi, as well as this Ikud the Amre that was said in the name of Ravasi, that both of them hold, it's based upon vizeh, vizeh, kidei shiyu, shodayim nochonu, usarech, simeach. As we say at the Seder, this is based upon the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that there's a physical maturity. So when they reach this physical, and therefore, along with this physical maturity, and that's the machlokis as to what age that is, is it 9 years for a girl and 12 years for a boy, or is it 12 years for a girl and 13 years for a boy? Whatever that age is, when they start to have physical development of the sexual secondary characteristics, so in that situation, the sexual characteristics imply that there's a certain level of interest in relations, and therefore, that's the age that they shouldn't stay together. Now, Amr Afram bar Papa, Amr Chista, Afram bar Papa says in Chista, this was only said, Lo Shanu Elosheina Bosha Lamo Lefan of Orum. We only use these age limits for 9 years old for a girl in the first opinion, or 12 years old in the second opinion. That's only if she's not embarrassed to stand naked in front of her father. But if she is embarrassed, Alba Bosha Lamo Lefan of Orum, if she's going to be embarrassed and stand naked in front of her father, so then she's already reached a certain sense of desire, so to say, and therefore it's inappropriate for her to be in bed with her father without clothing on. And what's the reason, my timer? Because Yetzer Abisha, from the fact that she is Sanua, it's inappropriate for me. A 3-year-old girl walks around without clothing on. But when you reach a certain age that you're embarrassed to walk around without clothing on, so then, especially if you would be embarrassed to stand in front of your father without clothing on, so then at that point, Yetzer Albusha, she understands, so to say, a little bit about this aspect of sexuality, and therefore, as a result, it's inappropriate for her to be in the same bed as her father without clothing on. Okay. Gemara tells us, Rav Acha bar Abba, Iklo lebei Rav Chista Chasoni. One time, Rav Acha bar Abba went to his son-in-law's house, Rav Chista, and Shakle Lebas Brate and Ozvua Bichnofe. He went and took his granddaughter, his son-in-law's daughter, his daughter's daughter, right? His son-in-law is married to his daughter. And he took his granddaughter from his daughter, who was the daughter of this Rav Chista, who was his son-in-law, and Osvua, he put her bichnofe, underneath his blanket. In other words, he was in close contact with her, obviously not in a sexual nature, but that was the question, was this appropriate or not? And Rav Acha Baraba did this, and he's a great Talmud Chacham. But his son-in-law, Amalei, his son-in-law, Rav Chista, tells him, listen, father-in-law, dear father-in-law, lo sovela ma'ar, doesn't the master hold? He was tremendously in respect of his father-in-law. Doesn't the master hold? Lo sovel amar mikacha. Now Rashi understands this in the very last Rashi on the Da. He says, "Ein Adoni yodeh." Doesn't my father-in-law, the master, know? Shehi mikudeshes. That she is already mikudeshes, and therefore v'yesh lo yisrachik me'eshesish. And therefore you have to stay away from her because she's an eshesish. Now the Ben Yehuda understands it in a different way. He says the lashon over here of lo sovra lomar doesn't mean that you know. It means, didn't you consider that maybe she might be already engaged, halachically married, first stage of marriage, and therefore it's inappropriate for what you're doing. So Ben Yehuda understands it a little bit differently than Rashi. The bottom line is, their son-in-law is telling over here his father-in-law, no, how could you do this? So Amalei, the father-in-law, tells his son-in-law back, you think I did something wrong? Avarta loch adirav. You, in fact, have gone against what Rav had said. Rav had said, Yom Rav Yudam Rav, the Tam of Rabbi Elazar, is either Rav Yudam Rav or it was Rabbi Elazar, who said, Asu liodam shikadish is mitok shitana. We learned this early in the Masechta, that a person is not allowed to go and marry his daughter off. Even though midorais he's allowed to, he shouldn't go and do this when she's a katana. Why? Because maybe she's not going to like this guy. And achetagdil, wait till she becomes a gedola, v'tomai bifloni, and he wrote it. And she says, I want to marry so-and-so. Let them go out on a date. Let them get married regularly rather than the father marrying her off when she's a young girl. So Rav Acha tells his son-in-law, how dare you go and marry her off? Tell me, maybe I should think that maybe she's married, when that would be an answer. So you're not allowed to go and marry her off. Rav Chista responds back to his father-in-law. He doesn't give in, albeit respectfully. He says, Mar nami avrelei adishmur. But you, the master, my father-in-law, you also have done something. You're telling me I went against Rav, you're going against Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Dama Shmuel, a mishtam shem b'ishu. We had this earlier as well. You're not going to get any benefit from a young lady, from a woman, because then she's going to become accustomed to talking to men. We learned this earlier on Daf Ayin, and as a result, it's inappropriate. So for you to take my daughter and put her, so to say, in your bosom, in underneath the cover with you, so that's inappropriate. Eimishtam shabisha. So Rav Acha tells back to his son-in-law, Malay, no. I didn't do anything wrong. I know, ki idoch the Shmuel's really. Shmuel said two things. Yes, he said, ein mishtam shabisha, but he also said, the Amash Shmuel. Shmuel said, in return to the last da, pei, beis, omen, aleph. It is perfectly acceptable if it's hakol l'shem shemayim. As Rashi and Top Rashi tells us, the whole thing, if it's hakol l'shem shemayim, the ein dati acharel, Rashi says, l'chibas ishus. I have nothing here of a carnal nature, of a sexual nature over here, rachmanu litzlan. The sole purpose of my doing this, el l'chibas kurva, it's just to show my love for my granddaughter. Ula asos koras ruach li'ima, and to give my daughter a tremendous sense of pride and love that her father loves her daughter, right? Which Zadie, which grandfather doesn't love to show his children how much he loves their children? That's such a great pleasure. And that's what he's saying. That's what Rav Acha told his son-in-law, Rav Chista. The only purpose I'm doing this is Shani Mechaviv Vizbita. I want to show my daughter how much I love her daughter. And therefore, this is perfectly acceptable. Hakol Hashem Shemayim. And that's what Tosa says. V'alzu onu somchen hashta sh'anu mishtam shem b'noshim. And this is halach l'maisa, Tosa says, why are we allowed to have such a relationship, let's say, between a grandfather and a granddaughter? It can be a close relationship because we're not concerned over here about anything immoral. And we're just trying to demonstrate the love and to show the children how much we love their children. Okay, we go to the next Mishnah. Lo yalamid odom ravok sofrim. A person who's a bachelor, Rabbuk is a bachelor, a young man who's not married. According to someone in Farshim, he's never been married. Rashi tells us, Ravok ponui below Isha, he doesn't have a wife, so he shouldn't be a teacher of children. The Gemara is going to tell us, because he's going to end up talking with their mothers, and as a result, Rachman al-Hassan, it could lead to trouble. Likewise, below Salamid Isha Sofrim, a woman shouldn't be a teacher to the children, because she's going to end up dealing with their fathers. And as a result, you're going to go and have potential problems, Rachmana Litzlan. So the only ones that should do this are either a woman who is married with her husband present, or if we're dealing over here with a married man, So Mistama, the desires won't be so good because he has his so strong, because he has a wife to go home to, and he won't be a bachelor who is going to be enticed by these young mothers. Okay. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af mishein lo isha lo yilamet sofrim. He says, if a person doesn't have a wife, the Gemara will explain what this means. Does it mean he never had a wife, or he doesn't have a wife now in town, or his wife never passed away? So we'll see in the Gemara what Rabbi Elazar means. Right now, Rabbi Elazar just says, if the man doesn't have a wife, lo yilamet sofrim, then he shouldn't be a teacher because, again, his contact with the young mothers. Reviewed Omer, the Mishnah concludes and says, Lo Yira Ravok Behema. Likewise, a bachelor, a young man who's never been married, shouldn't go and be a herder of the animals because Rahman al-Islam were concerned that he could commit an act of bestiality, Rahman al-Islam. Likewise, Lo Yishnu Shnei Ravokim Bitalis Achas. Two bachelors should stay together underneath the same blanket because, again, we're concerned Rahman al-Islam because of Mishka Zoch. That's the opinion of Yehuda, whereas the Chacham and Matirim in both of these situations, as we brought down before in Tosos, the Chacham and were not concerned over here that a person would do such a thing. It's not normal, and it's therefore not something that is shliach, and the rabbis didn't make any such gezeira in this situation. We don't have to be worried about those unfortunately rare cases where a person may commit mishchav zocha or commit rachman al-islam bestiality, so we don't have to make a gezeira of yichud for men to men or men to animals. Okay. Gemara starts off and says, what's the reason that we didn't allow this bachelor to be the teacher and why we didn't allow the woman to be the teacher as well? So, my time, if you're going to tell me, Ilema Mishom Yenuke, we're concerned over here, Rahman al-Islam, this bachelor is going to go and commit an immorality with the children. Rahman al-Islam is going to do an act of pedophile or he's going to have a homosexual pedophile relationship. So, we're not concerned about that. But Tanya, we learn the Brisa. I'm Lola Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Nekshe Do Yisrael Amishkav Zoch. Similar to what we have in our Mishnah, the rabbi said we don't have to be concerned about that. And the Brice expands on what we have in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about Mishkav Zoch, is concerned about bestiality. And Chacham say, no, we don't have to be concerned about that. And therefore, that can't be the reason why we don't allow this bachelor to be the teacher for the children, because we're concerned about an act of pedophile homosexuality. We don't have to be concerned about that. No, why don't we let the bachelor be the teacher? El Ravok Mishom Amasa de Yenuke, as I pointed out, because the little children have mothers, and those mothers might entice this bachelor, and therefore we don't allow the bachelor to be the teacher. And likewise, Isha, we don't allow the woman to be the teacher unless her husband is there, Mishom Avasa de Yenuke, because she's going to come into contact with the fathers of those students, and that could lead Rahman al-San to trouble as well. Then we brought down the opinion of Rav Elazar. He said, Rav Elazar Omer, at mi she'ein v'chule, which we had said was, Rav Elazar said, even she'ein lo isha lo yilav itzofim. If he doesn't have a wife, he can't be a teacher of children. So what does that mean, he doesn't have a wife? So the Gemara says, two possibilities. Yibaylu, does it mean, mi she'ein lo isha klal, he never had a wife? Or, Odilma, does this even include somebody, b'she'ein lo shruya etzlo, the wife's around, she's not living with him. Or, even if the wife was dead, but he once was married. So the Gemara tells us the answer. Toshma, it says at mi sheishlo ve'eno shruyetzlo. The Brisa tells us even if somebody has a wife, but she's not living with him. So then lo yilam itzofim. He's going to be potentially enticed by coming into contact with the young mothers, and he doesn't have pas basalo. He doesn't have a wife to go to at home and take care of his desires. So therefore, we're concerned Rachmona Litzlan that trouble could occur. We said the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer lo yira v'chule. Rav Yehuda said that a man is not allowed to be alone with another man and not allowed to be alone with animals, and the Chacham were matis. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Brisa. I'm a little Rav Yehuda. This is what we just brought down a moment ago in the Brisa. The Chacham's opinion is that these things are unnatural and unusual, and lo nechshu do Yisrael, a mishkav zocha lo al behema. That we don't have to make gezeiros, we don't have to be concerned about mishkav zocha nebuch. It has been a problem, is a problem now. There are unfortunately people that are faced with this very, very, very difficult challenge of having homosexual desires. And I always say, the people that are faced with this challenge, and they are true to the Torah, and they don't act on these desires that they have, they're tzaddikim gemurim. They live on an extremely high spiritual plane that they're able to subdue their natural desires and follow the Torah's advice and follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Those people at Tzaddikim Gemurim, their Olam HaEmes is unbelievable. And unfortunately, the people that they fail in that challenge, so that's for them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide what their challenges were and whether they were in any way successful in facing those challenges or they just totally failed. But that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to decide. And according to the Chachamim, that's not something that we have to make gezeiros about because it's unusual. Well, next Israel Yisrael, Mishkav Zachu, Lo Ala Behema, it wasn't something that was frequent enough that we have to be concerned about it. Okay. Next Mishnah. This is the final Mishnah in this beautiful Masechta, in this beautiful Seder. And it's a famous Mishnah. We'll see inside of it certain parts of it that everybody knows. Kol she'asaka v'manoshim, if a man has regular business with women, his job puts him into contact with a lot of women, so lo yisyachet im hanoshim. The simple understanding over here is that Rashi says that he shouldn't be alone with women, period. Normally we said a man shouldn't be alone with two women, but he could be alone with three women or four women. But here, what the Mishnah is telling us is, if a person has regular business dealings with women, so he's going to become very accustomed to them. They're going to become very accustomed to him. And therefore, Rashi says, lo yisachi de manoshim means afilu im harbe noshim. Even though normally the rule is, two is not allowed, but three or four or ten is allowed. But here, since libo gaspo, they're very familiar with each other because he's constantly doing business with them. So therefore, in this situation, there is a potential that even if there's multiple women, that they'd all agree Nebuch to have an immoral relationship with him because they're all very comfortable with each other and with him. And therefore, according to Rashi, the understanding is that he cannot be alone with even many women at the same time. Tulsa disagrees, and Tulsa says that we're talking about what the restriction is, even if this man's wife is there, since they are unfortunately so accustomed to him, so the fact that his wife is there is not going to guarantee that there won't be any immoral undergoings over here. Okay, so that's what the beginning of the Mishnah tells us. He's not allowed to be b'syachet im anoshim like Rashi or like Tosus. Likewise, a man, when he's teaching his son, he has an obligation to go teach his son a profession. So a man shouldn't go teach his son a profession that's going to make him involved with women all the time. That's the ideal. Rabbi Meir adds, that the best thing for a man to do is to teach his son a type of a profession that is clean and easy. In other words, there's nothing that is going to chas v'shalom lead him to do gezel. It's a very clean and nice type of a profession. It's also an easy profession. It's not physically hard, and it doesn't take tremendous hours, and he'll be able to make a parnasa. That's the ideal thing Rameh said. Teach your son this profession that is Nikia Vakala. And likewise, the Ispalo Lemisha Oshav and Chosim Shalom. And David Kosh Baruch Hu, he's the one that really runs, of course, the entire world. And he decides how much parnas a person is going to make. So you David to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who has Oshav and Chosim Shalom, everything belongs to him, that your child should be successful in the profession. Because She'ein Umnios, She'ein Bo'anios Gashiros. Every profession can make a person wealthy or can make a person poor. Just because somebody's a neurosurgeon doesn't mean he's going to be extremely wealthy. And just because somebody is a manual laborer that's doing back-breaking work, that's getting paid minimum wage, doesn't mean he won't be financially successful. Every profession has its poor people and has its rich people. Because shlo anios mino obnus, v'lo ashiros mino obnus. Because the bottom line really is that your wealth, whether it's going to be a good living or a bad living, your Parnasa doesn't come from that profession. It comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. El HaKol HaVizuch Huso. You merit what you deserve to have. And whatever merits you have, so that, in fact, is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give you. Now, a simple understanding over here is how good you are is going to determine what your Parnasa is, how good a Parnasa you're going to make. However, Tosus has a slightly different understanding over here, and he explains it that it means not al zuchuso, not based upon your merits, but it's based upon your mazel. The boni, the chai, umizoni, how successful a person will be with his children, whether he will live long or not, and whether he'll have a good mazonus, will have a good parnasa, lo bischus atalya, that's not dependent upon your zuchusim, it's dependent el b'mazel atalya nosus. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in, so to say, in this world, under this mazel, so that's going to determine those factors for you. Again, the simple understanding is that it depends on your merits. So you'll make parnasa. If you're a good person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. Now, that's the first opinion that we have. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Rav Shimon Elazar tells us, you ever see an animal that has a job? Nevertheless, and they have an easy time. They're hungry, they go, they have food all over the place. So the animals don't have a hard time making a living. How can we do? The animals, Valo Nibru Elisham Shani, the animals were created to serve man. And man, I was created to go and serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So certainly, if the animals who are serving me are supported without difficulty, so how much more so should I be supported without difficulty that I'm serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu? No, why doesn't that occur? Ella shorati masai v'kipachti es parnosasi. Rav Shimon Elazar says, I've done it to myself. I have done things that are wrong. I've ruined my deeds, and I have therefore v'kipachti as parnasasi. That has a quid pro quo. I didn't act nicely, so Kosh Baruch says, I'm not going to act nicely with you, and I won't give you a nice parnasa. Mishnah continues and tells us, Abu Gurion Ish Tzadjan. Abu Gurion ends with a nun, Abu Gurion, who lived in the city of Tzadjan, he said over Omer Mishum Abu Gurya. Don't confuse the two. It's Abu Gurion, who came from Tzadjan, and he said over this memory the name of Abu Gurya. And he said, this is what Abu Gurya taught. Lo yilamid odom es bino chamor, gamol, kador, and sapon. Don't teach your son the following professions. They're not good professions to have. Why? Because a chamor, Rashi tells us, is like a truck driver, a donkey driver, and the people in these types of professions, so they tend to be ganovim. Rashi says, Bale Kronos Kol Elu, they all are basically schlepping wagons. They're basically taxi services, car services, truck driver services. And these tend to be listios. They tend to be ganovim because they're constantly on the road. And kishalom medrachim heim nichnasim v'loktim etzim in akramim. They have to feed their animals. They have to feed themselves. So they take food from persons' private farms, and they support themselves and they support their animals. And likewise, vochin is skarmli adam. They go and hire themselves out to people umaviran altanom, and then they don't follow through. So these people aren't doing honest work. So don't, therefore, teach your child to be this chamor, this donkey driver, or the camel driver, or a kador, a person who leads a wagon of some sort, with animals or without, and a sapon, as a sailor. So all of these people, as I said, since they're dealing with these transportation-related issues, so there's potential for being a ganav. Likewise, he said, don't have your child be a shepherd, because shepherds also, Rashi tells us, behemo shelo shemavirin liros b'soda acherim, because they're pasturing their animals in someone else's field. So they're ganavim. Likewise, the chenvani, Rashi says, melumad biona, they're constantly tricking people and overcharging them. Lahato, for example, mayim b'yayin, they put water in the wine and they sell diluted wine. Or they put sroas, pebbles in the chitin, so they're not selling a full pound of wheat, they're selling 14 ounces and 2 pounds of stones. So 2 ounces of stones to make the pound. So don't be a chenvani. Shumnosan umnos listed, because in general, all of these umnios that we talked about have too much potential for thievery and to be ganovim. Now, Rebuda Omer Mishmo. Rebuda said over in the name, Rashi says, of Abba Gurya Mishmo. And he says, no, I disagree with the opinion of Abba Guryan Ish Sajan, because I say, yes, Hachamorin, the donkey drivers, I agree with you. Ruban Rishon, the majority of them are Rishon. And they steal because, they're taking local trips and they easily steal stuff. However, Vahagamolin, the camel drivers, because they have to go in the desert, Rashi says, Sheporshin Limidborios, Limokum Gidude Chayos Listin. They're traveling out in the desert where there are wild animals and armed robbers. So therefore they're constantly davening to Hashem to save them. Hagamolin Rubon Ksherim. The majority of them are therefore going to be Ksherim. He disagrees with Abba Gurion, and who had said, don't teach your son to be a Gamol, a camel driver. No. He says, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Abba Gurya, says the Gamalun Ruben Ksherim. And even better are the sailors, Hasaponim, Ruben Chasidim. Here they're not only just Ksherim, they're Chasidim. As Rashi says, Sheporshin Lemokom Hasakana, they're constantly going out to the deep ocean, and that's very dangerous in those boats that they had. V'tomid Heim Biroda, and they're constantly trembling. Yosef and Hagamol, even more than the camel drivers who are in the desert, but they're on hard ground. These guys are out in these rickety ships out in the middle of the ocean, so they were terrified, and therefore they were constantly diving into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we have one of the most famous statements in all of the Mishnayos. I doubt that there's anybody that hasn't heard of this that has learned a little bit. Tov Shebirofim Li Gehenim. From the best of the doctors, they go to Gehenim. Now, Rashi explains over here, they're numerous. I give an entire share on this subject, so we're not going to do this in an hour on this one line of the Mishnah, but I'll just give you very quickly what Rashi says. Rashi says the reason why the best of the doctors go to Gehenna is because Enu Yari Min Acholi. They aren't fearing God. They say, I can take care of sickness. God can't hurt me with sickness. Umacholo, Michael Briam. Hey, God's not going to hurt me with food. I know which foods are healthy, which foods are not, and I can take care of myself. I don't have to worry about God. And therefore, they're arrogant. And they don't go and subdue themselves to God. They say, no, I can take care of all these problems. God's not going to hurt me. And furthermore, they sometimes go and kill people inadvertently. They're not the best of doctors always. And therefore, they're arrogant. And the Meiri says, they don't ask other people. So, if you always think, I'm the best doctor, I don't have to go anybody else, ask anybody else about this case. I know everything. So you're going to end up killing people. And that's what Rashi says. And likewise, the HBO de Larapos, another thing is sometimes they could cure people. But they say, listen, you can't pay the bill. I'm not going to see you. They could cure the Ani. HBO de Larapos, Ani. However, they don't wrap it because he's not paying the bill. So if you can't pay, then don't come into my office. So for all of these reasons and many, many, many other interpretations, that's what it means, Tov Shebarofim Legehenim. Just add one thing from the Meiri. The Meiri points out, it uses the Lashon of Tov Shebarofim. It doesn't say Kosher Shebarofim Legehenim. So it's Pedavka, the one who thinks, I'm the best, I'm the Tov, that there's nobody else like me. I brought down once an interesting idea. I heard from a Breslov Chassid many, many, many years ago. He said the gematria of Tov is 17. Now, the Shmon Esrei really has 18 brachas. Of course, he has 19, but it's really called the Shmon Esrei, the 18 brachas. Lamal Shina was added later on. So any doctor that says Tov, there's 17 brachas, those are your concern, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the 18th bracha, Rifa'enu, that's my concern. Any Tov doctor, he says, yeah, God just in charge of 17. I'm in charge of the 18th one. Rifa'enu, such a doctor, Gehenim. He's going to end up going to Gehenim because he's an arrogant person and he's going to kill people. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't daven to God for Refuah Shleima. He says, I can do everything myself. I don't need God. And when he removes God from the equation, so such a person is Gehenim. Again, there are many, many, many other interpretations of this, but we have to go weiter. The Mishnah continues and tells us, v'ha-kosher shebetabachim, and even a good butcher, a good tabach, a kosher tabach, he's shutfo shel amolik. He's a partner with amolik. Now, what does that mean? So, the Rashi is found on the first of the wide lines of the Rashi. He says, sveke trevos bos liodo. A butcher is constantly going to have questions. Is this kosher? Is this not kosher? Is this a sircha? Is it not a sircha? Is it an adhesion? Not an adhesion. Is there a puncture over here? Not a puncture over here. And therefore, he loses a tremendous amount of money if this cow no longer can be sold for kosher meat. So it's worth $10,000 as kosher meat. It's worth $50 as a novella. So then, the chosam mamono umachilan. So he's not going to point out that there's a kashrus question. Sometimes the financial loss is going to overwhelm him, and he's chas v'shalom going to go and ignore it. And therefore, even the good butchers, hakosher shebetabachim, shutvo shel amalek, they're partners with amalek. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that the person's kali is constantly dealing with shechita. We have Gemara elsewhere that tells us that anybody's born under the mazel of Mars, which is red, he's either going to be a shochet, or he's going to be a bloodletter, or he's going to do something, a murderer. He's going to do something with blood. So this tabach is constantly shechting and slaughtering, so that has to impact him. He's constantly taking away life. So such a person is like a shutav with a malik. A malik were robbers, they were killers, they were murderers. Hamas is a malik. So these people, so they're shutfo shel a malik. They are horrible people. And the butcher here, who's constantly shechting, so it can lead to a tremendous decrease in his spirituality and in his yashrus. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Nohoroi. Rabbi Nohoroi Omer, Meniach ani kolum shebaolam, ve'ini melamed yis b'ni ela Torah. Rabbi Nohoroi said, for me, for my son, he's not necessarily saying this for everybody. He says, for my son, who's a talmid chacham, who has great potential, I'm not teaching him to be an accountant. I'm not teaching him to be a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher. I'm teaching him just Torah. I want him to be a Rebbe. I want him to be a Talmud Chacham. Because, Sha'adam Ochel Mischar Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'karen Kayemes Lo Li'olam Haba. Because he'll be taken care of in this world. He'll have what to eat in this world. But the principle will remain for the world to come. As opposed to all the other types of professions, Ushar Kol Umnos Ain't okay. The other professions in the world aren't like that. If a person, let's say, is an accountant and he can't go to work, so he doesn't make any money. Only they zikli, he gets old and he can't do the job anymore. Only they yisurin, or he gets sick and he's not able to do the job. So that's it. He has nothing. And he can't go and do his job. And as a result, he's going to die of starvation. But Torah is not like that. The Torah is different. even if you have Nebuch lost some of your faculties, so the Torah will still be Megan. El Mishmarto, Mikol Rabin Russo, it will protect you from all sorts of troubles and Yetzaharas and all sorts of challenges in your youth when you're young, Bin Aruso, Bin Osenislo, Achris Vesikva Bziknuso, and it will serve for you as a protection and hope for the future, even in your old age. Why? Where do we see this? Benaruso, my woman, what does it say in his youth? It says, V'kovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. That's one way to pronounce it. The Mincha Shai actually says it should be V'koyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. And this happens to be the Haftorah, this week's Parsha of Parshas Lech Lecha. So it says that those that trust in Hashem, those that look to Hashem, the V'koyei, those that have a tikva to Hashem, they have hope to Hashem, so Yachlifu Koach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them strength. Their strength will be renewed. And in their older age, b'ziknuso mahuomer, ojinuva b'seva, even in their old age, they still will have fruits. And likewise, v'chein uomer b'Avraham Avinu, it says by Avraham Avinu, in this week's Parsha, Parsha Selechel as well, v'Avraham zakein bo b'yomim, v'Hashem b'rach es Avraham b'kol, Hashem gave Avraham everything. And we see that this everything that he got was when he was zakein bo b'yomim. So you see, in his old age, he was still taken care of. And by the way, the Mishnah tells us, Motzinu Sha'asa Avraham Avinu es kol haTorah kula achalonitna. Avraham Avinu was such a great person, he actually observed the entire Torah kula. It says even Erev Tchumim, Erev Chatzeros. He did all of the, even the Rabbanans, that he fulfilled them. And we base this upon the Pasuk, even before the Torah was given, Shenemar. Akev, the word Akev is 172. When Avram was 3 years old, he looked to be 175. When he was 3 years old, he recognized the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And for 172 years, Akev, Asher Shema Avram Mekoli, he listened to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Vayishmor Mishmarti, Mitzosai, Chukosai, Vesorosai. He fulfilled all the Daraises and the Rabbanans, even though they hadn't yet been given, even though the Torah had not yet been given to Klai Yisrael on Har Sinai. Now, the Mepharshim ask a number of questions on this. So first of all, they ask, what are you telling me? The Cheshek Shlomo says, how can you tell me that Avram kept all the mitzvos? Avram married Hagar. Hagar was a mitzris Rishon. So how can he go and marry her? So he gives a very interesting answer. So he says that he had married her before he was Nimol, and he only took upon himself to observe all the mitzvos after he had a bris milah. So he was already married to her, he then divorced her, and he remarried her. No, once he divorced her, and then he had the bris milah, how was he allowed to take her back? So he says, that's also not a problem, because Avram was a ger. Avram Avinu was a ger, and he was misgayer, and a ger is allowed to marry a mitzris rishona. Okay, that's a beautiful terence, Cheshek Shlomo. Then he asks another question, how come Avram Avinu didn't do bris milah? Right? If it says he kept the kol haTorah kula, why did he wait till he was 100 years old to do bris milah? So here the answer is also very simple, because bris milah is a bris. You can't go do a bris on your own. So you have to wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go and do the bris. Another answer is that when you do something voluntarily, so you don't get as much schar. If you're eino mitzvah v'yose, you don't get as much schar. And Avraham Avinu said, here, this is a mitzvah that I can only do once. So I want to wait till I'm mitzvah in it, and then I'll do this mitzvah, rather than doing it when I'm eino mitzvah, and then I only have one opportunity to do the mitzvah. Once I had a bris milah, that's it. I had a bris milah, so I'll wait till I'm mitzvah v'yose, so it's a better performance of the mitzvah in that fashion. Finally, it says, Hashem beirach es Avram bakol. So this is a whole very fascinating discussion as to whether bakol means that he had a daughter or not. So Rebbeinu says he didn't have a daughter. That's not what it means. And the Minchas Bikurim explains, because oy lemi she banim nekevos, as we're going to learn in a moment. So it's not good to have daughters, because they can make you worry that they may not get a shidduch, and chas v'shalom, you're worried that the daughter's not going to be rachmon l'slam assaulted. These horrible, horrible Rishayim, the Hamas, so they assaulted the women. What does that have to do with oppression? What does that have to do with any of their goals for statehood and all the nonsense that's spouted? They raped women only because they're Rishayim. That's it. There's no other reason. So a father always worries about Nebuch, will his daughter be assaulted? So therefore, it's not a blessing that he had a daughter, and that's why it says, Hashem b'rachas Avraham b'kol, that he didn't have a daughter. Others say, no, he had a daughter. The Re says he had a daughter. Her name was Bakol, and that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram everything, even a daughter. In addition to having Yitzhak, he had a daughter, Bakol. Okay, we start the final Gemara of this Masechta, of this Seder. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following Braisa. Kol Shasokov im Hanoshim, similar to what the Mishnah said, anybody that has regular dealings with women, surura, it's going to never his character will be bad. It's going to turn him astray. As Rashi says, Minhogo ra, kirvaso ra lishtadlimo. He's not a nice person. He's going to end up not being a good friend, and therefore he's going to turn away from you. So suro ra, he's going to be a bad person to deal with. For example, kigon hatsarfin. What are some of the examples that are here? Asokavim nashim. If you deal with jewelry, you make gold chains for women. You deal with being a goldsmith. Hatsarfin. And likewise, hasrikim. These are people that go and comb the woolen garments for the women. Furthermore, v'hanokoros. So Rashi explains these are the people that go and clean the handmills, the rechayim shalyad, that the women would go and grind up a little bit of flour for their own personal use. Baruchlin, the people that go and sell the women all the cosmetics and all the toiletries and all the makeup that the women use. So these are peddlers. All of these are asok of imanoshim and not a good thing to do. Vagadiyim, the weavers, vasaparim, the people who give haircuts, both for the women and for their children. Vakovsim, the people who do the laundry. Vahagora, Rashi explains, agora is a bloodletter, a phlebotomist. Umon hamekiz dam, this is a person who's a phlebotomist. He's a professional bloodletter. And why is he called a vahagora? So, al shem shemagare as adam. He bloodlets you. He takes away the blood from you, so you're with diminished blood. That's why it's gora is less. Vabalan, these are the bathhouse attendants. They are the ones who heat up the bath waters, Rashi says, Mechami Merchatzos. And all of these people are not good professions to be in. Vabursiki, these are a very foul-smelling type of a job of tanning, Rashi says, Ma'avidlem Oros Lilbosh Lino. But they're dealing a lot with women to go and give them nice clothing. So all of these people deal a lot with women, and as we said, that is dangerous. Now, ein mamida mihen lo melech lo kohen gadol. The Braisa adds that these people are of a low character, and therefore it's inappropriate to go and choose them to be your king or to be the kohen gadol, assuming they even have the right lineage. They shouldn't be the ones that you pick. Now, why not? My timer. Now, all of them, not because lo mishum de psile, not because technically they're apostle. No, they're all technically mutter for these types of jobs like the king and the kohen gadol. So why don't we want to use them? El mishum dezil umnusayu, because their jobs that they do are very belittled. They're not good jobs. They're very low. They're base jobs. And we give one example. This Tanur Rabbanan, the rabbi said in the following braisa, asar dvarim nemu bugara, that there are 10 bad things that they said about the person who was a phlebotomist, the bloodletter. So number one, mahalech al tzido. He walks on his side, and what does that mean? It's in a very arrogant way, as Rashi continues, and he'll explain the first three. The rucho gaso, he's very arrogant. He has a haughty attitude. The nislav yoshev, and he sits in a very straight-up position when he's sitting down. Rashi explains all three of these. Shloshton simoni gaiva, they're all displaying arrogance over here. I will ein zu du melezu, they're all different. Ubekulon hu chaluk mimidas haksherim, they're all separate from the way a proper person acts. Nitlav Yoshev means Eno Yoshev Elo Imke Nismach Oliachorov O Altsido. He's always leaning. He doesn't sit up straight. I think I said before he sits up straight. It means that he's not sitting up straight. He's always leaning on something. Derek Gaiba in an arrogant sort of a way. And because everybody needs the blood letter, they felt the blood letter was essential, so therefore he is very arrogant. So those are the first three, very arrogant. The Eino Tzora, he's a very stingy person. B'mamona, Rashi says, Lahotzi Klum, he doesn't want to give anybody anything. Since he's always being given fancy food, because they used to have a nice meal after they had the bloodletting, so he would eat there also. They know Melumod Lahotzi, so he's always getting, and therefore he's not used to giving. They know raw. He has a bad eye. Rashi says, no sin ain't a bibrim. He's hoping that the healthy people will get sick. Sheyichalu, the yu tzrichlo, and then they'll need him. He's like a doctor saying, I hope everybody gets sick, so I'll have business. Rachmona Lutzlan. And ochel harbe, he's used to eating a lot. Rashi says, shemulum lechol im kama anoshim choyom. He bloodlets a number of people, and they each have a big feast at the house, so the guy's used to eating very, very well. umotzi kila, and he doesn't go to the bathroom a lot. Rashi explains, mitosha machol yofa, he's always eating good stuff, belechem noki, nice clean bread, ubasu shomin, and nice fatty meat, which they felt were mimatin es hazebel. They diminished your need to go to the bathroom. Shekolo the mechel and suda hakotza, michael bria, and all the times they did bloodletting, as I just said, they would have a big, specially healthy meal afterwards. So therefore, he would partake in that, and therefore, he was eating a lot of good stuff, and he didn't have to go to the bathroom a lot. The Choshal Arayis, always concerned over here that he has an immoral relationship, because Mitosha Noshim Tzrichoslo, the Isko Imam, he's constantly doing bloodletting on the women, and it's in private, and there's the concern that he commits Rachman al Sanim immoralities with them. And likewise, Vala Gezel, Rashi explains, Shanoshim Gozlos, we Valeim in Oslo, the women steal money from their husbands to give it to him. So he'll do the bloodlettings for them, or that he'll commit Averis with them. So he's constantly involved with theft as well. And finally, Balshvichas Domim. So here, it's Zimnim, Rashi says, the Shofir Le Ledoma Lepachos Mirvias. He's sometimes going to take off too much blood, and he's going to bloodlet them. It said that George Washington died because of bloodletting, excessive bloodletting. This concept of bloodletting in modern medicine is almost non-existent. There are only very, very rare illnesses for which a bloodletting is of any value. And in those days, everybody got bloodlet, and in fact, it was probably very deleterious to most people. So, for all of these reasons, that's why this bloodletting is not considered a very good profession, and why a person shouldn't teach his son to go into such a profession. Then, the Gemara says, Darish Bar Kapar, we learned in our Mishnah, Le'oli Milamit Adam has b'no umnis niki of a kala. A person should always try to teach his son a very nice, clean, and easy profession. So what's an example of this? Mayhi, so I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, and we turn to the very last Amud in this Masechta and in this Seder of Noshim, Pei Beis Amud Beis. This an example of this nice, easy profession is a Machta the Tamiyusa. That's to go and make stitches in a nice, ordered row. So this is a pretty easy thing to do. Rashi says that you're doing these rows and rows and rows of stitching, and this is something that a person can do without a lot of difficulty. On the side, in the Mesos HaShas, he brings down from the Aruch, he says that this is Nekiyah Megezel, it's free from theft, you're not doing anything that leads to stealing. The kala, the lesbach is your own kiss, and it doesn't cost anything, there's no outlay. A person buys a lot of merchandise and he can't sell it, so he has a huge loss. Here, there's no loss involved. So that's why it's Kala Vinikia. Gemara continues and tells us, Tanya, we're in the following braisa. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Ein l'cha umnis shoveris min ha'olam. There is no type of a job that will not be needed in the world. Most jobs, they continue. Now, Ashri mi shiro es horav bi umnis ma'ula. But it's so much better if a person has parents that are in a great job as opposed to parents that are in a not-so-nice job. So praiseworthy is the one who's fortunate to have his parents in a good job, because mustama, a lot of times the child goes into the profession that the parents are in, especially in those days when there was a lot of business, so the child would go into the business of the parents. And oilo, and woe is to the child, lemi shiro es horav bi umnis peguma, whose parents don't have such a nice job. Now, Ef Sholiola and below Basa and below Burski. As an example of this, the world needs both the people that deal with perfumes and the people that deal with the very foul-smelling hides. They used to use Tsoas Klubim to make the hides in the tanning process, lots of foul-smelling chemicals. No, we need people that deal with perfume, and we need the people that deal with these very foul-smelling types of professions. No, great is the person, Ashri Mishum Nasu Basam. The great is the person who's dealing with the Basamim. So, Va'ilo, Mishum Nasu Bursiki. And woe is to the person that unfortunately is a tanner who has these foul smelling, Tsoas Klovim type of chemicals that he has to deal with. So, again, there's nice professions and there's not so nice professions. The world needs all of them. But it's much better to be in the nice profession than in the one that's not so nice. Ashri Mishum Nasu Basam, Va'ilo, Mishum Nasu Bursiki. Then, the Brisa continues with a similar idea. Ef Sholi Olam Below Zchar Velo Mekevus. You need both men and women in the world. But Ashri Mi Shabano Zchar is much easier on a man if he has children that are boys. For Oilo, Lemi Shabano Venekevus. And it's much harder on him if he has daughters that are girls. Again, this was just a fact of the life in those days. And it's not necessarily different today. It's sometimes much harder to take care of daughters to protect them in this world. Rachman Hulitzlan, as we just saw, the world is a very terrible place. And there are people that do all sorts of horrible things to women. And there's always, of course, it's much more difficult to get a daughter married because you don't control that. The man can offer to do kiddushin, the girl has to accept it. The girl can't go and offer the kiddushin. So therefore, this is the simple understanding of why it's easier in some ways on the father if he has boys rather than if he has girls. Again, you need both. Chas v'shalom, we're not suggesting that you should have one without the other, and we're not suggesting that you shouldn't be ecstatic if you have girls. That's not the point over here. The point is that sometimes it is easier on the father if he has a son rather than a daughter. Rav Meir says, as we said previously, Rav Meir said that you should try and teach your son a nice, easy, clean profession and and realize that all the parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and constantly daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the parnasa, because it's not your job. People go into certain professions thinking they're going to make a great amount of money, or they think they're going into a profession they're not going to make a great amount of money, and then it's the exact opposite. It's not the job that gives you your money. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you your parnasa. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Liyah Kesev, Liyah Zov, Numa Shem Tzvakos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in this pasuk in Chag, guy, that I'm in charge over here, and that I'm the one that goes and gives you your parnasa. Then the Mishnah said, "Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Imro Isa Miyomecha, have you ever seen an animal that doesn't make good parnasa and that they don't have any jobs?" So Tanya, we follow up on this in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, we expand upon this, and he says, "Miyomai," he says, "in all my lifetime, lo ra'isi tzvi kayotz, I never saw a deer that was involved in the harvesting of dried figs." Right, kayotz keitzam is beach. So this is the dry figs. So I never saw a deer that, you know, was doing this job of drying figs. And likewise, I never saw a vari, I never saw a lion that was a sabal that was going and carrying these packages. He was a, you know, a carrier of packages. I never saw that. Vishua, I never saw a fox. It was a chenvani. And I never saw any animal doing any parnasa. And nevertheless, famous parnasim, shalom b'tzar. And they all make a good parnasa. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides them with all their food. Lo nivru elam misham sheni. Now, Rav Shimon Elazar says, these animals, their whole purpose in the world is to serve human beings, to serve me. And my whole purpose in the world is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So certainly, I should have a much easier time with parnasa than them. So ma elu shelo nivru elam misham sheni, mis parnasin shelo b'tzar. These animals that were created to serve me, I'm not God. They're created to serve me, he said. And they have parnasa without any difficulty. So Allah has come v'kama. Vanisha v'reisi l'sham yisiz koni, eno din she'es parnei shelo b'tzar. I certainly should get parnasa without any difficulties. How come it's so difficult for me to make parnasa? Elo shariosi es masai v'kipachti es parnasa si. Because I did bad things, and as a result, I hurt my parnasa. I ruined my parnasa. And this is what it means. And the pasuk says, shenemar avonoseichem hitu. In Yirmiyahu, he tells us, avonoseichem hitu, this means that because you've done all of these averos, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I'm not going to give you parnasa. Then we quote Rabbi Norai. Rabbi Norai Omer Aminiach Ani Kol Mesuchule. He said, "I wouldn't teach my child any umnes other than Torah." And the Braisa says further, Tanya, Rav Norai Omer, Rav Norai says, I would leave all the other professions and not teach them to my son, only Torah. Why? She called all the other jobs in the world, they only help him when he's young, and he's strong and stark, and he can do the job. I will be mazik nuso, but when he gets older, or if he gets sick, or as we said, he can't do the job, he's going to die of starvation. The Torah doesn't work that way. Obed is only other base, he'll do so. It helps you out when you're young. And even if you become older and weaker, you know, Stanislaw Achris Fatikwa Basic Noso. And it'll be there for you in the future as well. Where do we see this? Beis Yalduso Ma'omer, in the time of his youth, what does the pasuk say? That's again this week's Haftorah. The Koyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach Yalu Eber Kanishar. That those that trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them renewed strength and vigor. And they'll be like eagles that will have wings and fly. And in his older age, Omer, that they will still produce fruits, even in their old age, they will be very, very strong, and they will be very, very fresh, and very, very wonderful. What a great way to end the Masechta. What a wonderful bracha it should be for all of Klal Yisrael, and these eis tzara that we find ourselves in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we beg you for mercy, and we're trying so hard to study Torah. We just finished the beautiful Masechet of Kiddushin, the wonderful Seder, Noshim, the schus that we have learned all of this, that it should be a schus for all of Klal Yisrael to have peace, the Chayalam should be safe, and all of Klal Yisrael should see Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehira B'yameinu. Hadron Lech Asar Yuchsin, Hadron Lech Asar Yuchsin, Hadron Lech Asar Yuchsin, Uslik Allah Masechet of Kiddushin, Uslik Allah Masechet of Kiddushin, Uslik Allah Masechet of Kiddushin, Uslik Allah Seder Noshim. Yes, Hashem, we will return to you, and tomorrow we start Nezikin.